welcome back to another Daily Walk. Today I want to talk a little bit about the YouVersion Bible app because they have reached a milestone this last week or so, and it's making some news inside of the headlines. And then we're also seeing that Bibles are on the rise, like Bible sales are on the rise, and a lot of younger people are moving into church for the first time, which is deeply encouraging. However, I want to point out that the YouVersion Bible app is a little bit dangerous. It does contain the Word of God, and for that, it is indeed a living and active sword that cuts to the marrow. Unfortunately, it is a living in active Word of God that is also very dull and with a broken handle, which means it's very easy to hurt yourself when you hold it. And the reason for this is even on their statements on their website, they actually stay in there. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and read it verbatim because it is very telling about it. And this is actually in their privacy policy, which I'm going to mention here quite a bit. They say here at the very top, kind of before the legal notices, they read this, important, please read this first. And one of the things it says in here is they began exploring in 2006, wow, we're used to like 2020, 2006, right? How they could help people take advantage of emerging technologies. And so how could we get a Bible on a phone as they were brand new, just coming out in that time period, which is very useful. Let us create YouVersion Bible app, one of the first 200 free apps available when Apple launched the store in 2008. Also not bad. Since then, it has grown, but one thing remains the same. The product and the features we provide is crafted with great care. Our apps are not just electronic Bible readers. See, it's beyond the Bible. It's beyond the Bible. They were created to help you cultivate a deeper relationship with God every day and to do that in a safe place alongside people you trust. That is the statement on the top of their privacy policy. So it's beyond the Bible. You see, the Bible is the core thing in our Christian faith. They want to go beyond the Bible. How do they do that? They go beyond the Bible by having all these study notes from the quote-unquote people you trust, like Joyce Myers, Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, other heretics. Yes, most of the people in here. Now, there are obviously going to be very good studies in there. And I don't know if MacArthur has studies in there, if Grace Hughes is in there or not, but he did make a statement because the NIV had a lot of negative publicity for very good reasons. We're not going to get into it here, but when questioned why he has a study Bible in NIV, he says because people read it. It's the same reason they decided a while back when pretty much everything you turned on to Christian television was basically heretical. He said, yes, we're going to put our stuff on Christian television as well so that, hey, you might stumble upon something that's true. So you will very well find sound material on it, but it is right alongside of a bunch of Christian hogwash. And this is especially deeply concerning as a lot of bigger influential people like Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson and others are jumping onto the Christian train. Of course, Joe Rogan has had some discussions about it as well. And I don't think any of these people have demonstrated any form of true Christianity. Now, only Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson have basically stated they are Christian. Joe Rogan more or less states that the Bible is fascinating, and that's about what he's saying. But the point I make here is that these big influential guys are now alongside Christianity, and what do? They attach themselves to the other big players in the world. And so they're attaching themselves with a ton of false teachers, and they're so young in Christ, they don't have the discernment to know what is sound and what is unsound teaching. This is why I would recommend people start by just reading your Bible. Maybe a couple of notes from some things. Some people might be blessed to know somebody who is a sound believer, but a person that just comes to Christ, you don't know what a sound church is. You don't know what an unsound church is. One of the first churches I went to as a brand new Christian was a Catholic church. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know there's a difference between it. You don't know the difference between a regular church and a Mormon church, a regular church, a Jehovah's Witness church. You just say, oh, church. These guys are really nice to knock on my door. I may as well go to their church. And before you know it, you're caught up in a cult and you don't even know it. But as a person, take it from a person who has traveled the country full-time for 5 years. I've been in hundreds of churches. There are more bad churches that do not preach a good gospel in this country than there are sound churches. Now, you can find sound churches. Even in crazy dystopian hellholes like California, there are a lot of good churches there. I have found them. I could even point you towards some if you want. But the point is that while this app has crossed a billion downloads and it's making a lot of news, and I think pretty much everybody that an Android or an iPhone has it on their phone who professes to know Jesus, it is full of false teachers. And the other thing I wanted to point out from my other world is I am a privacy advocate. And the reason for that is if we remember back to some of the biggest atrocities in, you know, fairly modern history, think back to World War II. You realize that Hitler was able to round up all of these Jews for his crazy evil purposes because data was available. The Nazi Party was working with IBM, who had collected deep amounts of information on people and had access to it. Now, that system was not used and put together for malicious intent, but the fact that the data existed, it got turned into a malicious intent. So I'm a privacy advocate because I do not want large swaths of data-driven information out there on the internet. And the fact of the matter is nearly every app, particularly a commercial app, which YouVersion is commercial, I'll caveat that in a moment, but they collect a lot of data. And their privacy policy reads like they collect a lot of data. In fact, in 2013, they collected so much data, they actually contacted Google and had Google engineers come to them to figure out how to sort, categorize, and organize all of the data that they have on people. This is the type of thing that dystopian companies like Palantir are doing for people all the time. Now, the application itself does contain a lot of trackers. And we know this because they say how much data that they collect in their privacy policy. So even though their privacy policy up here basically states you are in control of your data and all this, there's also the same legal disclosures that you find, which basically says we collect data in accordance with law. Well, what does accordance with law mean? In accordance with law in America means we can do anything and everything with your data possible because you, by the nature of downloading the app and clicking I agree box, have consented to it. Data privacy in the United States does not mean your data is private. It means we have told you what we're doing with your data. And although they actually have these large swaths in here about it's a privacy app, why? It's a privacy app because it doesn't push ads. There are a lot of ways to collect and use data without pushing ads directly. They do say in their policy that they use that data to determine the best ways and places to market their advertising. In fact, a couple years ago, they came out with a very controversial ad, which was a zero rating from Satan. I don't know. I think Satan would give the Bible, the YouVersion app, a pretty high rating because of all the false teachers he pushes in there and all of the close partnerships. Now, the other factor I want to mention before I get down to the final point here is, actually, we're going to do it in the order of my notes. Information we collect and how we collect it. And of course, there's a lot of information here. Obviously, if you create an account, if you give them information, they use that information. They sell that information. They share. Even though parts of this policy says we do not sell or share your information, but that's actually not true because they also mention down here in the bottom, and I got to find it because this is a large, large, large privacy policy. Here's analytics. We internally analyze the personal data you give to us and use and your use of the YouVersion content, as well as inferences we make from the data to provide and update YouVersion communications and process information, all for internal analytics. You know, that's basically what they say. We use de-identified and aggregated user data to market YouVersion, including communications that promote YouVersion member accounts and network growth, such as celebrating the total number of 1 billion YouVersion downloads. But this is what they actually say. If you scroll down about two-thirds of the way through this, you find this section called sensitive data. Now, by downloading and using used version, we do not assume you are of any particular religious affiliation or express to us any particular religious belief. We merely assume you are interested in the content we provide. We do not require users provide information about beliefs or provide any sensitive information such as race, ethnicity, philosophical beliefs, physical or mental health to use YouVersion or create or maintain a member account. This is a legal disclosure because you're not allowed to use such information. However, the next paragraph literally says, some features available to you through YouVersion utilize personal information that may reflect your religious or philosophical beliefs. Before we collect or process information, such features, we will obtain your explicit consent. Now, explicit consent in phone apps means it is on a box that says, I agree to the terms of service. That is not explicit consent, but that's the legal definition. So they can collect anything about you they can because you have downloaded the app and clicked the button that you agree to the terms of service for using it. All right. In addition to these features, you have control over the content of the certain things you create, share, or store in the YouVersion. You can provide us with sensitive information. With any content you create, share, and store, we assume we have your consent to process that information. This is the next paragraph. We will not sell your sensitive personal information, but we may share it with third-party service providers so they may improve their content or services to enable us to provide certain app features, and those service providers are required to keep your personal information confidential and use it only to improve their services or provide us with our services. Now, before I jump into a Switch to Linux video instead of a Our Walk in Christ video, I will just say that multiple government reports say the processing of data by third parties is always where data leaks occur, because they don't have the same robust things. And once they've given it to somebody, they don't. So my ultimate point here is that YouVersion is an app that they say, we want to go beyond reading the Bible. We want to do the Bible with a bunch of teaching, with a bunch of crazy heretics. We're going to collect and process all of your information in the same way the world does. We're going to collate these giant databases of such information. And even though the data that we might share out is anonymized, it is very, very well known in the privacy world. You can de-anonymize data very easily. Now the final point, let's get to the money. I tried to look up to see if they are tax deductible or not. It turns out that they only became a tax deductible 503c in 2003. That is, I'm sorry, 2023, my apologies, only 2 years ago. As such, ProPublica, which measures the honesty of charitable organizations, has zero information about them. We don't know how much money they bring in. We don't know where that money is coming from. We do not have that information because apparently they only have to report the information of what is directly donated. I guess in a couple of years, they have not passed the threshold of what they have to legally report, which I think is $50,000 or it's $50,000 in a year or something. We do know that the early funding was put together by a bunch of anonymous wealthy donors. We also know that many of the people who were friends of the original founder are generally heretics. So we don't know if it was put together with good money. We don't know how it's sustained. As of right now, they say that most of their operating budget comes from donations, from the private donators, and from the budget from the church itself, which the church itself, which owns it, Life Church, is also it's one of these churches that does not generally have sound theology. They bring in a lot of guests that don't have sound theology. The pastor of that professes to be one of the best friends of Steve Furtick, who is a crazy heretic. That guy is nuts. If you watch his stuff, he's not preaching a sound gospel of Jesus Christ. And the other factor that we see, of course, is we don't know where all their income is coming from. And I promise you, a lot of their income is going to be coming from third-party connections, because that is how most apps make most of their money. It's not advertising. An app doesn't have to have advertising on it anymore to make a lot of money. It has to collect and process a ton of data. Maybe so much data that Google engineers have to help you sort it. And that is indeed a potential source of their income. And unless we can actually see the bottom line of everything, I think that that's probably what we're going to see. Now, that's not absolutely confirmed. That's just the way the vast majority of apps work. This is why as I've said many times on my other channel, Life 360, Gas Buddy, two apps that were paying thousands and thousands of dollars to major content creators to push you to install a free app on your phone that has no accounts. They made more money by selling your data than they made by anything else. That they made so much money by selling your data, they were able to offer tens of thousands of dollars to creators to mention it on YouTube. Because data collection is the world we are in. I am not into that form of data collection. I am not an advocate of using this app. Let me go ahead and wrap the video up just briefly. There are a number of other alternative apps you can get. You want to dig through the various things. What I use personally is called AndBible. It is free and open source. You can download it not only the Google Play Store, you can also download it on good app stores like F-Droid, who honestly audit every line of code and compile them themselves and release them. AndBible does not make any network connections at all, except when you are going online to download a translation, and it gives you a warning you are about to go on the internet. All of the translations you download are all offline on the device itself. No data leaves that app at all in any way, shape, or form. The limitation of it, it utilizes the Sword module, so not all translations are available. If you are addicted to the crazy NIV translation, I think you can get it, but you'd have to buy it. You used to be able to get ESV. They have pulled their version. You might still be able to find a version of it floating around on the internet somewhere. NASB does make those versions available. And then there are a plethora of other good sound translations from, obviously, King James is there, NET is there, and then there's a lot of other good translations as well. And you can download other books and other resources in there as well. That is the app I would recommend you put on your phone, because it is honestly privacy honoring, and it is not associated with a bunch of false teachers. There is my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts about all this in the comments down below. Thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.